place a view in how the qualities underlying the seven synonymous terms for God work together in action. This also includes the four operators and their underlying qualities. The qualities cannot operate in isolation. Just as the digits in mathematics or the notes in music cannot operate unless the operators are applied to the elements. Add, subtract, multiply, and divide are the operators of mathematics. Music has its operators. And divine metaphysics also has its operators. Just as mathematics can be defined as a system, so can music, and very definitely the science of divine metaphysics must be recognized as being a system, as Mary Baker Eddy defined in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, where she stated that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. Robert Putnam, a very fine Bible scholar with an in-depth background in Christian Science, is perhaps one of the best scholars for reference purposes in assisting one in understanding the Bible and why Christianity developed or atrophied in the manner in which it did. He explains the major Bible characters and how it relates to this exact theme. As Christianity developed throughout the centuries and thousand-year periods, God defined himself to the seekers of truth in more and more comprehensive ways, starting at the very simple elements and increasing the content of his description of himself as time progressed, or really as thought opened up and was ready for a more comprehensive definition of just exactly what God is and how God operates. Action is a key word, because without action, nothing takes place. Mary Baker Eddy defined it this way: infinite progression is concrete being. If there is no progress, there is no being that can be relied on. The false representation of man is a perfect example of this. Genesis 1 defines the creation, or rather existence, in a very complete manner in terms of the elements. And that is stable because it is truth. But then when the mist went up, as defined in the second chapter of Genesis, everything became cloudy and erratic, chaotic. Because there were long periods of time without any reliable means of recording what was discovered, it requires an advanced spiritual understanding to sort it and decipher it. just as the game that is played in groups, whereby the participants stand in a straight line and the participant at one end of the line is given a piece of paper with a short message on it, and then the paper is taken away, and that individual is supposed to relate what the message was to the one standing immediately next to them. And it is passed down the line verbally until the last one is given a blank piece of paper in which to write the message that they heard from the one just before them. Then the message on the two pieces of paper are compared, only to find that there is a dramatic difference in the message. And the change took place because it was verbally transmitted, which means that the transmission of the message was altered based on the individual and their own character. That would include preconceived thoughts, their background, education, their ability to communicate or lack thereof, their integrity. Many things enter into one simple little game in transmitting a short message verbally. Hence, if one wants to understand the Bible, they must be spiritually inspired and be capable of sorting and prioritizing the message. Each one of the characters that is on every page of our website in the header portion has a little lowercase I in the upper right-hand corner of each of the images in the row of 10 characters. If one hovers over with their pointing device, each of those 10 icons, they will get a bird's eye view of something important about that particular character. These have been selected carefully to represent some important things to know about the system of Christian Science. Those are only 10 of the 88 authors that are included in the website. The website is Mary Baker Eddy Institute, and the address is mbeinstitute.org or .com. It is the same website that can just be accessed from two different addresses. The primary characters that are addressed by Dr. Putnam, the Bible scholar, by the way, he was a doctor of chemistry, so his education was based on a very methodical method of research, which is a great advantage in doing research in the Bible. If one has the spiritual animus, which he did have, to accompany the systematic approach. And he divided his 10 chapters in his book, The 10 Bible Lessons, in this way. Number one was the Bible overview. Number two was God. Three was Noah. Four was Abraham and Isaac. Five was Jacob and Joseph. Six was Moses. Seven was Elijah and Elisha. Eight is prophecy. Nine is Christ Jesus. And 10, the second coming of Christ. As noted, God revealed himself in an ever-increasing fashion. And for example, to Moses, which was one of the early characters, he revealed himself as I am that I am. But by the time that Jesus was the main character, he was defined as love. As one studies the system, they will find that love is the final of the seven synonymous terms for God in the order of development. In other words, all of the other six elements need to be developed in order to attain the fulfillment, which is defined as love. The wholeness of man is love. Various people throughout history have indicated that what we see is our own thoughts projected. Also, that our thoughts reflect what we see. If one is observing a universal thought, they absorb into their own thought what is projected to them. Mary Baker Eddy stated that often how one uses the moment, and that's defined in the dictionary as the smallest measurement of time, that how one uses the moment is often the determinant of success or failure. The Bible indicates that we should pray without ceasing. Frederick L. Rawson, another very advanced student of Christian Science, stated that prayer is right thinking. In other words, managing our thoughts in a productive manner so that they are exclusively on spiritual things. Mr. Rawson was so advanced that he was able to write a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, which includes a section, which is really an encyclopedia from A to Z, of 1,315 different problems that one may be faced with, or any number of them that one may be faced with throughout their lives. And with those problems, which are defined in human terms, is the spiritual counterfact which one can utilize to overcome and completely heal the problem. Mary Baker Eddy states that we must define the problem and reason it away by utilizing the spiritual counterfact to that problem. Since the entire publication just named was a result of deep spiritual inspiration and prayer, it is a valuable resource, no matter what one's level of spiritual advancement is, as they seek the truth for the infinite progression which is pursuing concrete being. After Jesus, of course, came Mary Baker Eddy. And those who had the opportunity to be exposed to the great discovery of Mary Baker Eddy, named Christian Science, or Divine Metaphysics, or the Science of Christianity, or the Science of the Bible, all of those terms really referring to one and the same thing, have an enormous benefit because of the tools that became available. Just as those who were experiencing life on planet Earth at the time of Jesus had the opportunity and still have the opportunity of doing greater works than Jesus. As he said, greater works than these shall you do. And that was because Jesus gave us his example. So we didn't have to start at the beginning, such as Abraham, but we could start at a level where we had all of those tools that had already been experienced and proven to be true. By the time Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science and started writing her 432 editions of Science and Health, she also became more and more comprehensive in her description of God. Although the very original publication called The Science of Man included the definition of God, she elaborated throughout the succession of the different editions of Science and Health on that very important definition by explaining it in many ways throughout the entire textbook. An example of this is in chapter 6, entitled Science, Theology, and Medicine, and that is broken into three sections, the first one being science. She defines on page 115 God as being divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. When she summarized the first 13 chapters of Science and Health, which is the final one of the section Science and Health, wherein she divided the book into two sections, the first 14 chapters being Science and Health, and the last chapters being Key to the Scriptures. And those are chapters 15 through 18. In chapter 14, Recapitulation, she defines God as following. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. If one takes a closer look at those first four key words of incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, they relate to the four operators of the system of divine metaphysics, which is Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. So she is saying that the Word relates to incorporeal, or rather, the word incorporeal is a part of the operator that is termed Word. The Word is a statement of the facts about God. She's stating that the facts about God have nothing to do with body, but it's incorporeal, bodiless. The second word of divine, that is a part of the Christ. The Christ is the consciousness which translates to make sure that one is looking at the divine and not something that is less than divine. Divine means perfect. No flaws. And Jesus was a representation of the Christ. He was named Christ Jesus because he was a wonderful representation of the Christ consciousness. Supreme relates to the word Christianity of the four operators of the system of divine metaphysics. Supreme means there's nothing higher. So when one is working on demonstrating, which is a part of Christianity, proving the truth about God in individual experience, they have to be working from the standpoint of the perfect, the supreme, the top. That is the level for which they are striving. And the fourth one of infinite relates to science. And that gives us the message that there is no end to the discovery of the science and the living of the science and the being that is defined as infinite progression. Concrete being, infinite progression. If one progresses to chapter 17, which is more advanced than what was stated before, she says that God is the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. So she is making more comprehensive the definition that were in the first 13 chapters, where she only said that it was the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, and then gave the seven terms for God. And then at the end, she gives an extra thrust to substance and intelligence. Substance is defined as being a part of spirit, and intelligence is defined as being a part of mind. But she's taking those two particular qualities and putting extra emphasis on it by ending her definition of God with those two words. And in the beginning, she's not just saying what was revealed to Moses about God being I Am, that I Am, but she says it is the, not a, but the, in other words, the only I Am. And she's saying that it's great. God is the great I Am. And if we go further down in the glossary to the definition of good, which is just the second definition below the definition of God, she defines it as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. She points out in various places in her writings that God is defined as good in a variety of different languages. So therefore, she defined good as one of the primary definitions in the glossary. And if one thinks about the four omnis, it doesn't leave anything else. Omni means one and all, the only. So there's no competition or opposition to power or science or presence or action. There's the word action. The first thing that was stated in this recording is that it is place in action. So what does place mean? If we're going to think about what was also stated, and that is that our thoughts can be influenced by what we see, and on the other hand, we can see based on our thoughts. Now, she names spirit as the second word in the definition of good. Again, she says, God, spirit. So if we look with a spiritual animus, being in the spiritual realm, being in the sanctuary of spirit, in determining what is place, what is the right place, what is the belief of a wrong place, and about thoughts being our place, as Mr. Rossin states, then we must realize that we can create the place based on our spiritual understanding. Everything is about place, because place means, where is our thought? At what level of spirit are we classifying everything that we see, hear, feel, taste, and smell? Are these from a spiritual animus? Or are we just letting the mesmerism of humanity be our thought? Chapter 2 of Genesis, starting with verse number 4, refers to their going up a mist, and then it explains what man is. Who wants to be looking through a mist to get a definition? One must be looking through the clarity of spirit, not the mist of matter. In the glossary, the very next definition after God is God with an S, gods. And it's defined as mythology, a belief that life, substance, and intelligence are both mental and material, a supposition of sentient physicality, the belief that infinite mind is in finite forms, the various theories that hold mind to be a material sense, existing in brain, nerve, matter, supposititious minds, or souls going in and out of matter, erring and mortal, the serpents of error which say, ye shall be as gods. That was a quote from the Bible. She says, God is one God, infinite and perfect, and cannot become finite and imperfect. So as she often does in the glossary by stating the falsity or the reality first, and then follows it up with the myth or the fact of the opposite. In this case, she started with the myth on what it means to have an S on the word gods, and then she translates that to the counterfact, which was just stated, that God is one God, infinite and perfect, and cannot become finite or imperfect. We must choose every moment what place that we want our thought to reside. We must use these moments, the smallest measurement of time, to make sure that we are on the path of reality, not the broad path of supposition and sentient physicality, not a mixture of mental and material, not a mixture of myth and reality or fact. We must stick to the truth. Like they state when one puts their hand on the Bible. I saw a movie recently where they were swearing these people in. Happened to be a Western. One of my favorites, because they leave out so much of what is in so-called modern movies, which are what I consider fill, F-I-L-L, or otherwise known as insignificant garbage. And so the judge had the witness put their hand on the Bible, and they said, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" So when we place our thoughts, are they on the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help me, God. In other words, God, help me to stick to the path of truth. That's the place where we want to be. We want our thoughts to be strictly on truth. We touched on mind and some of the qualities of mind. Also in that row of authors that is in the top of every page on the website is listed Helen Wright. She and her husband founded the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. And Helen was not only a prolific writer, but one of the most enjoyable ones to read, because she is very entertaining at the same time she's delivering a powerful message. She wrote a book that is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And that book includes, among other chapters, 7 specific chapters on the 7 synonymous terms for God. And they are presented in the order of the days of creation, which is the definition of God as defined in the chapter recapitulation that was described previously, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That is the order in which thought is developed, which is in alignment with chapter 1 of Genesis. It starts out with, let there be light. Mind is light, enlightenment, the idea. Spirit is the substance, which is flawless, transparent, because it is flawless, and reflective, because it is both transparent and flawless. Soul is sense, and because spirit is the only substance and it is flawless, then soul is spiritual sense, and our senses must be flawless as we are expressing them, whether it's mentally to ourselves or expressing them in interacting with others. Principle represents system and structure, and that includes harmony and balance, because that's what structure is all about. Life is living the qualities, expressing the seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling in everything we do in a spiritual way. Living the qualities of God, not of a mesmeric belief that is fake, that is erratic and chaotic. Truth is the path that leads to God. It is the consciousness that is the Christ consciousness. It's like measuring something to get the fact. Well, truth is measuring the path that leads to God. Are we on that path, or are we taking one of the detours which are all around us? Mary Baker Eddy states that we are presented constantly with the temptation to listen to things that are ungodlike. Wentworth Winslow is another one that is in that row of 10 on every page. He wrote 4 books on God. Let God do it. God can do it. God will do it. God is doing it. And he emphasizes that one way to be thinking in our moments is that we are in a room and there's a radio that is constantly broadcasting the thoughts of God, and he calls it radio station KOG, Kingdom of God. And there's a phone. And remember, the phone is duplex. We can listen and we can talk. At the same time, we are listening, we can talk. So we could be listening to mortal mind, and we could talk and be either arguing with it, or we could be denying that it is real. He's saying the best thing to do is forget about arguing. Don't even pick up the phone. Don't even open up your thought to the susceptibility of being influenced by mortal mind. Mary Baker Eddy did not have a phone in her home, even though it had been invented, because she did not want to be subjected to, nor have her staff or her household or home subjected to, mortal mind projection of thoughts from anyone on the other end. Every moment counts. No matter what we're doing, are we placing our thoughts in the sanctuary of spirit? Love, of course, on a human level, was defined by Henry Drummond very well, talking about the various things that are moral, such as forgiveness and consideration, thoughtfulness, kindness, generosity, and so forth. But we need to raise that above the human thinking and strive for the divine, because those terms that are just mentioned are all relative, relating to humanity. But of course, we must remember what Mary Baker Eddy said about Jesus, and she said that the magnitude of his humanity enabled his divinity. So we have to rise up from what is believed to be a sinful birth, born in sin. We have to rise up from that, which is a universal belief put on everyone that is born of a man and a woman. And we need to get into the moral level of what was just mentioned about ways that Henry Drummond described love in a human way, and get up to the divine level where Jesus was, and he automatically translated the human to the divine. He didn't see Tabitha dead. He saw Tabitha sleeping that needed to be awakened. The same with everyone that he dealt with, that he healed. He saw them as perfect. He didn't see them as from a sinning mortal view, seeing them depraved. He saw them as being perfect. The Christ consciousness was applied in the filtering. He didn't pick up the phone. If we hear it ringing, we must take the active step. Remember, place is action. We have to put it in the right place, and we have to say, no, that's not true. What is true is, and then state the counterfact. understand it well enough that it is effective. Mr. Rawson, along with Mr. Spalding, both advanced Christian Scientists, were viewing out a window, and there was a cart that, because the animal was alarmed and the driver of the cart was behind there examining the tailgate, lifted up the whole cart. This was back like 1900, 1910 or something like that. Lifted up the whole cart and dumped the whole load of rocks on the man. Mr. Rawson said he viewed it with his friend, and he said with conviction, "There is nothing but God." And with that, the man jumped up through the rocks. No scratch, no damage. That was it. That was the end of the mortal belief. So instantaneous healing happened, continues to happen, and that's what we need to be doing with our moment, keeping our thoughts straight so that it does rise above anything that is presented. And we don't need to wait, and we shouldn't wait until we have a problem to be keeping our thought in the right place or to get our thought in the right place, but it should be continuous. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In other words, keep our thought on the spiritual dimension all the time, no matter what we're doing. One certainly should be willing to explore the Apocrypha, which are the books of the Bible which were not permitted to be left in the Bible, thanks to the lower than perfect thinking that was going on in 325 AD at the meeting of NECA. And Mr. Putnam goes into detail about this in one of his books. And they made the decision on what books were going to be included and what were going to be excluded from the written books that were available. Unfortunately, they left out some very important things. In this book of Barnabas goes through the Old Testament, giving the various places that Jesus is referred to. This is the Old Testament, 2,000 years before Jesus. Very well documented in the Old Testament and in these Apocrypha books, particularly the ones by Barnabas, that Jesus was referred to and prophesied for 2,000 years. Well, at that meeting of 325 AD, and they determined of what was going to be true or false, or let's put it this way, what was going to be promoted or suppressed, that ushered in the Dark Ages. Because they made religion a part of the state. They combined politics with religion. And to this day, you have to get a business license to have a church. And if you don't comply with what they say, they'll shut you down. Mary Baker Eddy said, "We may no longer be able to practice Christian Science because of the politics involved." Back in 325 AD, they assigned the duty of healing sin to the churches, and they were not even the slightest bit capable of healing sin. And then they assigned to the medical profession the bureaucracy of witch doctors and so forth. That was their duty, to heal the sick, which became nothing but a money-making proposition. Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, others have realized that healing the sin is the most difficult. because people supposedly gain pleasure from sin in various forms. A bank robber gets instant money. Someone involved in an intimate relationship gets a so-called instant satisfaction on a material basis. Controlling others, ruling others, it feeds ego, one of the worst sins, because ego blinds one. Arrogance blinds one. So sin is the most difficult. In fact, sickness is a sin because you are believing that the sickness is real. In other words, you're not believing that God is all in all. You're not believing that there is nothing but God. You're not believing that the I am that I am is God. You're believing the I am is a sick person or a sinful person or whatever. So sin includes sickness because our thought is not in the right place. The first commandment is being broken if we believe in sin. If we believe in sickness, the first commandment is being broken. The truth about God is that God is good, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscience, omniaction. With those kind of qualities, how could God be evil? Would intelligence be evil? In fact, it can be destroyed instantly. There is nothing permanent about ignorance. There's nothing permanent about sin or sickness, mortality. Anything ungodlike, there is nothing that is permanent. The sooner one realizes that, the sooner one understands the importance of the moment, of being in the sanctuary of spirit. That's the place where our thought must be. The network is ever operative. In other words, intelligence is a quality of mind, and that must be applied in determining what is real substance and what is fake. It must be utilized in determining what is our spiritual sense and what is the so-called material sense that we are bombarded with constantly. It must be utilized in determining what is the true system and structure that is everlasting versus one built on sand. It must be utilized in the activities we're involved in living the qualities. If we're not using intelligence, we're going to be making major mistakes continuously. How about the path of truth? Do we need to have intelligence to determine what is the path of truth? Do we need to have intelligence to realize that we better stay on the path of truth? Otherwise, we're going to have a very bumpy road. How about love? Do we need to know the intelligent approach to love? Do we need to know the difference between sensuality and spirituality? Love that lasts is not sensual, it is spiritual. This network is the same with every one of the qualities of God. Once they understand the classification of the qualities of words, they can assign it to one of the seven synonymous terms for God and its opposite can also be assigned, knowing what its classification is, in which it is overcome by the qualities of God. If we want our thought to be in the right place, we need to do this with everything that we think, say, and do. Where is our place? What is the right place? What is the wrong place? It becomes easier to determine when our thought is on what God is. When recording is begun on a treatment, one does not know where the thought will lead. The yearning has to be to seek truth and let the truth lead to where it may lead. In this particular case, the definitions of God flowed totally extemporaneously. We must let our thought flow in the path of truth. We can't take the many diversions that we're presented with through the phone ringing all the time. We must let the Christ consciousness do our filtering, just as did Jesus. Einstein is one of the images on every page, and if you hover over that icon with the little I, you will find some of the statements that he has said, which include, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." He referred to Mary Baker Eddy as thou, and this book being the textbook of science and health. He had a dear friend named Underwood, who was a doctor of physics, working on the Atomic Energy Commission. Everyone that was working on that team expired as a result of radiation. They were killed, except for Dr. Underwood, and he was healed through Christian Science. Einstein obviously became very seriously interested in Christian Science, seeing that and other healings take place. God is all there is. Are we going to pursue a better understanding of those five simple words? The tools are available. We must make a concerted, continuous effort if we want to have the advantage of those tools working for us. It's an individual decision. Do we want to be in the right place with our thought? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Divine love meets every need if we do that. If we seek God first. Amen.